Okay, so welcome to Ribis as a brand new topic, which we may end up continuing into next year, depending on just how long we end up spending on this. We also, Rabbi Zirig and I, were discussing whether to go by the Gemara or whether to go by the topics within Ribis. And still unclear which way we'll proceed, but what we're going to have is the practical overview, basic description of what's involved from me this week and leading into next week, and then switching over to the conceptual overview that Rabbi Zirig will do, and then one way or another proceeding beyond that. So I gave you on the sheet, just because I felt like it should be there, psukim in the Torah that deal with the issue of Ribis, the first in Parshas Mishpatim, when we are instructed that we shall lend to the ani, to the needy person, and we should not be like a no-she, which is its own law. And lo sesimon alav neshech, don't put the bite on him, as the phrase goes. You've already seen the opening gemara in the parak about neshech versus tarbis and the distinctions or potential distinctions between the two. Then the second time in Parshas Behar, as part of our discussion about Onah, we saw that these psukim are also found in that same area, talking about your needy brother and how you should support him, and you should not take neshech and tarbit. And then the third one, found in Sefer Devarim, is that you shall not extend neshech and tarbit to your brother, but you do for the nochri. So those are your three basic sources. It could be there are more psukim, but those are the ones that I'm familiar with, which deal with it and which we have to play out. I gave you also on the sheet just a basic outline within the Gemara. The Meiri is always helpful when you start a perek in trying to outline naturally, or where not naturally, he will impose an outline on the parak of the topics that are dealt with. So what I did was I took his outline. The parts that are in bold are the categories and sections that he defines. And then within that, if I found something that I thought was particularly worth noticing, then I noted it in the smaller bullet points. Within it, I did something similar with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. If anyone's interested, I can send it to them, but I felt like the source sheet was long enough. But just also going through which topics are dealt with where. Okay, but let's talk Ribis itself. So in order to do this, I wanted to break it down the following way. First of all, basic definition of Ribis. Then the broader question of what is a loan? What counts as a loan? Since we say that Ribis is primarily and biblically for a halvaah, for a loan, how do you define a loan as opposed to pikadon, as opposed to she'ela, as opposed to mechira? Some subtopics within that. And then move into the question of the derabanans, where we find Ribis derabanan. So we'll deal with the topic of derech mekach u'memkar, deal with the topic of rentals, and some subtopics there, and then move from that into the different levels of Ribis. Ribis Kitsutza, Avak Ribis, even though that's also part of the Darabana discussion, you'll see the distinction more clearly as we go through the outline, and then HaRamas Ribis, and then certainly for next week, not for this week, transactions that involve Ribis. So what happens if you give somebody Ribis and you call it a gift? What happens if there's a transaction that involves basic payment of a debt as well as Ribis? And what does the debt itself hold if the transaction includes Ribis, and how we take care of that? Are we funding Ribis to the person if it was paid already? And then if there's time, some special cases, like status of partnerships, special needs borrowers, and special needs lenders. So, for example, what if you have people who are yesomim? They don't have parents, and you have an apotropos, a guardian, who's responsible for their funds, and he wants to lend it out and charge Ribis for the benefit of the yesomim. There are certain rules in such cases, as well as what about where everybody involved really doesn't see it as Ribis, but sees it as a gift, like the case of the Talmidei Chachamim discussed in the Gemara. So that's what I want to go through as a basic outline. Let's start with the principle of Ribis being agar naterlei, right? Source Aleph, the one line from the Gemara in the Samach Gimel on the base, Amr of Nachman, Klala diribisa, the basic principle of Ribis is kol agar naterlei asur. Anytime there is payment for being able to keep somebody else's money, Natar, like shomer, that's the verb it comes from. Anytime there is payment for keeping somebody else's money, that is ribis. And that's the Gemara above Mitzia there. It's brought in the Tur, it's brought in the Rama, in Kuf Yoredeya Kuf Sama Aleph. In terms of the question of why this is in Yoredeya at all, I will defer that to the discussion of the conceptual issues and what the nature of the Issa ribis is. That's beyond what we're going to discuss right now. The general rule is that it doesn't matter whether you are holding the other person's money for 1 second or for 10 years. Any time you are paying to be able to hold his money, that is ribis, and it even applies if the loan is repaid immediately. So long as you had the option of holding his money longer. So if Adam lends me $100 and says, yeah, you can keep it for a month and you will give me 5% interest in order to hold the money for a month, and I give him all the money right now, in addition to the 5% interest, that's still a violation of ribis. If you take a look at source base, I brought you from the Chuvos Imrei Eish, where he dealt with some very interesting names. I don't know how to pronounce these. Avista, perhaps. Oif per tingin dizis, I don't know. But the bottom line is, as you see in the brackets, that what these are, and these are German phrases, for kisha eresh tar zeh, dahainu sha mischayev lifroa miyag sha malva yare loas ashtar ve yitba chobo ve in zman le peraon. There's some kind of a loan in which you say, I am going to pay whenever it is that he demands payment. Sorry? It's called a demand loan? There is such a thing? Like, people want to do this? Okay, go figure. I will pay whenever it is that you come to me and say, pay me back. I mean, that's the way people generically do things, often. But I wouldn't have thought of it as an institutional thing, but apparently it's a demand loan. Yeah. Uh-oh. Thank you for telling me that.
It's actually in mortgage documents since 2008.
Okay. I don't know why this works, but I'm just going to go right on. Hine, kolzo kefa keren v'aribis yachad, harehu chayiv miyad b'ribis. The bracketed comments are mine. So any time that you set up the keren and the ribis payment immediately as one, harehu chayiv miyad b'ribis. The idea is that you have to pay the ribis right now, as though you had already had the full experience of the loan. Even if you want to pay early, you're still going to have to pay the ribis. And he says, look in Shulchan Aruch in these locations, and the Trumas Hadeshen, and brought by the Beis Yosef. He says, you might want to argue that the two cases are different. Because in the case that you're describing, let me say it differently. In the case that we usually think of, the loan is a 1 year loan. I owe him 5% per year, and he can't demand it from me until the end of the year. Therefore, even if I pay immediately, and I pay the ribis now, it's still called ribis because I had the luxury of a year. Whereas, if he could come back to me tomorrow and demand payment right away, I wouldn't call this agar natarlei, because it didn't buy me a year. Nonetheless, he quotes you the Mordechai to say, it doesn't matter, I'm jumping. He says, Aval, we're one line up from the end of the source in base, Kol adam hamalva v'ribis lo haya nosin im lo haya marchiv lo zman v'havi agar natar. The bottom line is that the way loans work with ribis is that you wouldn't pay the ribis unless you knew that you were going to have the luxury of that time. That's agar natar. V'akol yodim ki rak bavur shemarchiv lo zman ha-peiraon u'mechayiv atzmo b'neshek v'tarbis. The reason why you pay the ribis is because you expect to have extra time, and therefore, even if in the end you don't have extra time, because he shows up tomorrow and says, I want you to pay me, nonetheless, you are paying for extra time. What he's getting at is the psychological reality of agar natar lei, which is, I am paying to have the ability to have a longer loan, and even if I don't get a longer loan out of it, that's what I had in mind, and therefore ribis is called agar natar lei. It's not called a loan origination fee. It's called interest. That's what the Imrei Eish is trying to get at. I stumbled a little bit in explaining that in the beginning, but I hope that's clear. What he's trying to say is anytime you think you're paying for extra time in order to have the loan, that's already ribbis. Further, the payment of ribbis is oster with any currency, even verbal ribbis. The Gemara at the end of the parak talks about this. I brought you one example of it from Ayin Hey Omer Beis, which is the primary place of the discussion, in which we talk about not saying hello to somebody. If normally you wouldn't greet him, but now he's your lender, and therefore you greet him, that's oster too. Because the pasuk says, kol davar asher yishach, play on words, davar asher yishach, dibur is oster as well. So even with speech, God willing, we get to Ayin Hey Omer Beis. At some point, we'll have a further discussion about how verbal ribbis works. But that's the statement. You say, correct, he loaned you money, and before you would have ignored him on the street. But now you say, hi, how are you? That's already something. Yeah.
But you didn't know him before, now you do know him.
Yeah, now you, right, you didn't know. Maybe. The only requirement that we have is the possibility of hamtanas mos, the possibility that you could keep it longer. But they do note, and the Bris Yehuda talks about this. The Bris Yehuda, for those who are not already aware, is the Pesach Choshen, is the Nesiva Shabbos. We should rename ourselves to the Beis Medrash of Rav Yaakov Yeshaya Bloy. Based on the Erevin last year, where we lived off of Nesiva Shabbos, and then Ona, where we lived out of Pesach Choshen. So now he's the Bris Yehuda. But the point is anyway that he discusses this particular point, that there has to be an actual deficit for the lender at some point in order for this to be agar natarle. I am paying him for letting me hold his funds. So he gives you a hypothetical, which I actually bothered to retype here in order to explain what that means.
So you repeat that?
I have to be holding something of his. There has to be some moment.
I, the borrower.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, that leg is going to collapse. I, the borrower, have to be holding something of the lender at some point. He has to have a deficient. He has to have a deficit at some point. Take a look at Dalit, and you'll see what I mean. Reuven pekid hamolches. You have Reuven who works for the tax collection department. His job includes collecting for the tax authority. Yeah, but the way this works, this is old-fashioned. He has to give them a certain sum every month. Whether he has succeeded in collecting it or not doesn't matter. The tax authority says, we know that by the end of the year we expect you will have collected X number of billions of dollars. So, every month you have to transfer to us a certain sum. Yeah, of some kind. The problem is that the time arrives and he doesn't have the money. So what does he do? Balo Eitzel Shimon, Sheyitein Lo Horat Tashlum. The parentheses is useful there. He comes to Shimon and he says, listen, Shimon, you're a friend of mine. What I would like you to do is to give me a document that I can use to draw on your funds in Constantinople, which is where the people are that I have to pay, such that I can give them this IOU on your behalf, and hypothetically they would use it to take your funds. And in 15 days, I will pay you the sum that's in that IOU plus extra. But here's the catch. I expect, as a good tax collector, that in the next 2 weeks, I'm actually going to come up with the funds to give to the authorities in Constantinople. Right? And therefore, they're never going to draw on the IOU. So I'm going to pay them by the deadline. And I'm going to pay you as well the amount that's in this IOU plus extra. You follow? So the result is that the money is actually in 2 weeks. No, it's actually not. In the end, I'm not paying him twice. In the end, this, so to speak, lender is never going to lend any money, and he's only going to get back the excess. That's the idea. I'll cover you if you have to spend it, but you're not going to have to spend it, and I'm going to give you some extra. Yes. That's exactly right. He is acting effectively as a guarantor for this, but they don't know it's a guarantor. They think that they received an IOU. So, in that case, there's no issue of ribbis. because there was no halva, precisely. There was never a deficit. The point is, you have to have some concept of holding his funds for some period of time. That's the point.
Yeah. There's no principle, same thing as there's no deficit.
Yeah, there is no principle, that's correct.
Yeah, but
yeah.
They can take the money.
They could have.
Yeah.
They could have taken the money, but they didn't. Right. So there was no actual deficit.
So this is allowed.
This is allowed, correct. Correct. That's exactly right. Now, we have to discuss all sorts of cases that come out of this, but this is an overview, so I'm not going too far into it. I just wanted to show you the principle of what's involved. So what is a loan? Generally, there are three steps to a loan. Step one, a lender provides an asset to a borrower. Right? The person who provides the asset is the lender. The person who receives it is the borrower. Number two, the borrower owns the asset during this period of time and is able to spend it. Right? As opposed to, you gave me something of yours to watch, or you gave me something of yours to use. You know, I'm inviting guests over, and you provide chairs, which we're going to sit on in the house, and then we're going to give back to you. It's not a biblical loan such that there would be biblical ribbis if I gave you an extra chair. Maybe. We have to actually have to talk about that. Use of what constitutes use. Maybe I shouldn't use that as an example. That's not a great example. Scratch the example. But that's the second point. The borrower owns the asset and is able to spend it. And then third, the borrower is expected to repay the value of that asset to the lender at some point in the future. Right? He's not going to get to keep it, in other words. Those are the three pieces to a loan. As opposed to a case of she'ela, where you borrow a physical item which has to be returned itself. That's what I had in mind with the chair. A physical item that has to be returned intact, right? That's not like the money. The money, I spend it and I give you other money. Or a picadon, in which case it wasn't for me to use, right? It was an object given to me to guard. It's also not like a sale. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Malveh Loveh Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, it's source Hey. Asur laharbos al hamecher. You are not allowed to add to a sale. Ketzad, what does that mean? Hamocher l'chaveru karka o metaltalin. If I sell you land, or I sell you movables, v'amarlo, im me'achshav titein li hadamim harehid shalcha b'meya. I say to you, if you're going to pay me now, pay me $100. V'im adzman ploni, but if you're not going to pay me now, you're going to pay me by X time, harehim shalcha b'esru u'meya, then pay me $120. Hareza avak ribis. That's not biblical ribis. That's what we call avak ribis. It's a ribis dirabanan, as we'll see. Because you're getting the 20, right? You're getting the seller is receiving the extra 20 because he allowed the borrower to use his 100, which he had a right to now, for that period of time. It's like a loan in the sense that the buyer got to keep his 100, which really belongs to the seller at this point, for an extra period of time. So I, the seller, lent the buyer $100 for him to give me $120 later on.
The sale takes effect now?
Correct, Mayamsha. The sale took effect now.
So it's a sale.
Correct, and therefore it's not biblical ribis, because it's not really a loan. That's exactly the point. What we're saying is, if the transaction is actually a sale, the payment is only rabbinic ribis. It's not biblically defined as ribis. The bottom line is that charging more for late payment is a sale rather than a loan.
So what is the difference?
So that's the big question, which I was stressing about with Adam and going around and around on. What really is the difference between a loan and a sale?
So is there an obligation to repurchase?
Is there an obligation to repurchase? The purchase already happened. What do you mean?
He's purchasing it. He's purchasing
it. I am the seller. Wait a second. I am the seller, and Yosef is the buyer. Okay? I have merchandise, which I sell to Yosef. The merchandise is worth $100. I gave Yosef the chairs, the merchandise, whatever it is, today. It's $100 worth of merchandise. I tell Yosef, you don't have to pay me the $100 today. You can pay me the $100 a month from now. No payments for 30 days.
Right.
In 30 days, you have to give me $120. So what I have done is I have lent him back his $100 for 30 days with interest, such that he has to pay me $120.
So
That's what I've done.
But if the sale takes effect only later when you give the 120?
That's a whole other conversation, which the Gemara is going to have to discuss, but that's a whole other case. So the question, though, is, as Yaron asks, what's the difference between a loan and a sale? At the end of the day, it's still, he is paying me $20 to be able to hold my $100 for a month. Why is that any different from where I just handed him $100, and at the end of the month, he gives me $120? So, two answers to this question. One answer is that it's about whether one pays with the same type or quantity of item that one received. And this starts with a taz, which is incredibly difficult to work with. And I didn't even bring it for you on the sheet. But the taz in Kuf Samach Aleph says that if you receive an eved, and you say you're going to give back two avadim, okay? So in other words, I am lending my Eved to Yosef, and Yosef is returning the two Avadim to me. Leave aside Eved, Karka, and a whole other discussion that we have to have. And you call it She'ela. You call it borrowing the Eved, as opposed to borrowing like a loan, but borrowing like there's a physical Eved. You couldn't give me back two different Avadim. It has to be this Eved. That doesn't work, he says. And everyone tries to figure out what the Taz is talking about. So the Chavos Da'as tries to explain, and the Chavos Da'as is in Vav. He says, I'll say it outside and then we'll see it inside. He says, if you give back a different type of item, and you don't call it a loan, then your language works to make it not a loan, because your language implies this kind of an arrangement that's a non-loan arrangement. In other words, I'm giving him chairs, and he's giving me cash. That's what makes it a purchase as opposed to a loan. The debt he has to me during this month is not really a debt of $100. It's a debt of $100 worth of chairs. And because we called it a sale, and because chairs went one way and money went the other way, that's what makes it into a sale. Take a look at his language in Vav.
I was going to say that, so theoretically, if they actually broke it out into steps and says, well, you owe me $100. Here's $100.
Exactly.
Then you'd have a problem.
That's correct.
Not money for money.
That's correct. That's what we would call zakat al milva.
So by virtue of the fact that you complicate it by incorporating something other than money, there's enough basis with midoraisa to say it's not technically alva, and therefore you're not over Ribbis midoraisa.
That is right. That is right.
It changes the case in the context of that, something like you're supposed to give him back.
Sorry?
It's changing the idea, yeah. The right to give it back.
No.
Give it back or
no? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You mean if he wouldn't pay me the 120, then I would get the chairs back? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or, I don't know. You have a decent deal for a month, and then you give me the chair back, and...
Well, then it's a loan, right? Then it's not a sale. But no, with the Chavos, right?
Going to call it sale.
No, so he requires both language and structure. It's both that you call it mechira. We're in Vav, Makor Vav. Both that you call it mechira, and that it was merchandise went one way and money came back the other way.
So how's that different?
But we have a condition that the money was one way. The money goes one way and the chair goes the other way. But we have a condition in the country that this is for a month.
Yeah.
And this is a loan.
So in other words, it's a sale. It's not a sale.
It's a sale,
yeah.
But for a month.
That's called rental.
Okay. That is a loan.
You rented the merchandise for a month.
So
I'm good with that also. That's still Derech Mekach Umemka. That's still not a way of...
So it's a conditional sale. Right, you own it for a month, and you have a month to come up with the money. And if you don't do it by the end, you get to return. You're right. The rest.
You own it for a month.
Right, the way we do with Mechiras Chametz, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't change hands, but you own it.
No, that's not true. We I mean, it doesn't physically change hands.
Right,
they don't take it.
Fine, but we say you own it, and in a week, if you haven't come up with the rest of the money, then you have to give everything back.
No, absolutely not. That is not the way that Mechiras Chametz is done. I'll show you.
We buy it back.
We do the Mechira, we specifically write in the contract that in the event that you fail to pay, it is still yours.
And that...
It is yours no matter what, and even if you fail to pay at the end, it will still be yours, and we will meet in 8 days' time to discuss your balloon payment that you owe. That's the way it works.
Right, but I'm saying if you did a hotter offer, like, you know.
If you do what you're describing, then I would not eat in your house.
I don't have a hummus. You can eat in my house.
I should know that you're free to do whatever you want, because ribis for the aquam is fine.
Right. But the, if you could use this in theory, maybe you could use a deal like that to mask ribis, right? I'll leave the chairs.
Well, keep in mind, this only cuts it down to a derabana.
Right.
This doesn't save you from a problem, except that what it means, the fundamental difference, as we'll see, between Ribis del Raisa and Avak Ribit, is that now that I have more Israelis, I have to say Avak Ribit. The fundamental difference is that a court, a Beis Din, is not going to take away Avak Ribit that was already paid. If you paid the Avak Ribit, you lost it. Whereas if you paid Biblical Ribit, then they'll actually take it away. That's the major difference. But let's see the Chavos Das. I brought him there on the sheet. Like, he's sitting there waiting for us.
Is the Chavos Das different than the Rambam then? Or how does that help the Rambam?
So what he's doing is he's explaining the logic that drives what the Rambam is saying. It's not the Rambam's invention either. The distinction of Mechira is a Gemara distinction. I brought the Rambam because it's a good formulation. But what the Chavos Das is, he's explaining for you why the sale case that we gave is fundamentally not the same thing as a loan. This is what he's trying to offer us. He says, "V'nira li biyishuv devar." He's trying to explain that to us. Dihide nira b'sa'a b'sasayim. If I give you a measure of grain and you're going to give me back two measures, oh b'sha'ar metaltlin or any other movable item, de'eno aser mi de'o raisa rakasha omer b'lashon halva'a, where it's only called biblical ribis if you use the term loan. But if you use the term sale, could go in shomer mechor li sa'ah or metaltel zeh vashalin l'chol izman ploni b'shnei metaltelin kamohu. Right, I'm going to sell you a quantity. I'm going to sell you a physical item, and you're going to pay back. Right, it's the other way around in the way it's worded. But you sell me an item, and I'm going to sell you two of the items back. I'm going to pay you two of the items back. At the end, demuter mid oraisa. That's fine. That's not called a halva. Why is it? So I'm jumping after the ellipsis, the three dots. The yesh gamken chiluk din gadol bein halashonos. There's a substantive difference between the two different types of language. Diksha omer halvei li sa'abis asayim. Because if he said, lend me, mechuyav l'shalim ke'ein shehalveyu k'sheyeshlo. Dibahalva mechuyav l'shalim tamid ke'ein shehalveyu m'chitin chitin. V'chein k'shehalveyu maus mechuyav l'shalim maus ke'ein shehalveyu k'sheyeshlo maus. He says the fundamental and salient characteristic of a loan is that you were lent a certain type of item and you have to refund that type of item. In the moment that what you refund is a different type of item, now we don't call it a loan, we call it a sale. Had we done the Gemara in the beginning of Perek HaZahav, this would be a lot more clear. The whole discussion of what is peri and what is kaspa, what is money and what is commodity. But that's the way that the Chavos Das reads what's going on, and he's not the first one to say this. It's actually a Tosfos. I brought you the Tosfos here in Sur Zion. Nasa ka'omer lo halveini at she'avu b'nio ad she'emtza hamavteach. Tosfos there is discussing the case of a delayed payment. So he says, "V'im tomer," you might ask, "Nihi deshari sa'ah b'sa'ah ba'ad she'avu b'ni." Right? There is, in fact, that you could do this. I could say to you, "I want you to lend me a bag of flour, and I'm going to give you back a bag of flour later on, where I actually have a bag of flour. I just don't have access to it right now. So there's no concern about fluctuation in the value of the flour between now and when I pay him back, because I'm giving him the bag that I currently have. It's just not, I don't have access to it. It isn't really a loan." So he says, that's permitted, but but not if I'm saying to him, "I want to borrow a sa'ah from you, and I'm going to give you two bags back." That shouldn't work. But Tosfos says you could do it because of the following. The case under discussion in the Gemara is okay because it's really a sale case. Because one type of commodity is going one way and another type is going the other way. And what Tosfos is saying, and this is the foundation for what the Chavos Das says, the Rosh says it also, is that if it's a different currency, that's already not going to trigger biblical ribis. That's already more like a sale.
I was going to say, Philip, I borrowed 15.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I'm going to pay you in wine that worth two sale credits.
Did you use the word borrow or the word sale?
I'm going to sell you one capritin and to give you wine that worth two capritin.
Yeah.
This is a sale.
That's a sale. And therefore, it's only a Vakribit.
Yeah, but it's a no.
That's a separate discussion.
No, the Mishnah that in the beginning of the parent don't talk about it. This is a Vakribit. This is a Ribit. And give back wine. They don't talk about it.
The Mishnah talks about it in the language of Halva. So that's why it's biblical. That's why it's done right then.
Nachon. Even though I give you back wine.
Because there you use the language of halva'a.
But it's only the language?
Yes. It's the language combined with this. But yes, that's one argument. The other, there's no question that from a substantive perspective, these things are the same. The mechira and the halva'a are the same from a substantive perspective. That's our problem. So the only question is, what is it about the way we look at it? What is it about the cosmetics that turns this into mechira as opposed to being halva'a? The other answer we're going to give is not going to make you any happier. Right? The Makor Mayim Chayim, the Maharam Padua, in Source Chas. He says, "V'ikir nira b'das ha'taz." I'll tell you what the taz meant. The chol davar shu derech lahotzio shayach lashon halva'a. Things that you normally spend, that's called halva'a. V'imamar halveni sa'achitim amanach l'shalim sasayim dochan osur mid'oraisa kevin de b'derech lahotzio b'en. He says these are items that you normally pass along as is, that you spend as is. Masha ein kein, as opposed to bishalava eved almanas l'shalim la'achar zman shnei avadim. If you lend an eved, and the condition is that I'm going to give you back two avadim, you don't spend an eved. Right? The Eved does some work for you, and then he goes back. There's no literally spending avadim. So he says, where it's the type of entity that people normally will spend, then this is called a loan. If it's a type of entity that people do not normally spend, then it's going to be called a something else. Whatever, she'ela, mechira, depending on what you're doing. I think there's a typo in the Bar Ilan's Makor Mayim Chayim. I need to go back to look. This wasn't Bar Ilan. This was the Hebrew Books manuscript. But I think there's a mistake. I think the word Shach Zero that's there should be Lahach Zero. It's the Derek Lach Zero Ben. I don't think that the Shin just doesn't work. But the point is that that's the Makor Mayim Chaim's approach. It's not a question of was what you gave the same as what you got back, same type of item, but rather is the type of item that is changing hands the sort of thing that people spend, then it's halva'a. If it's the sort of thing that people don't spend, they'll use, then it's something else. She'ela, mechira, whatever we're dealing with.
So going back to the Rambam's case, and not focusing on loan versus sale, but focusing on the about Rebbe's part.
Yeah.
So what if, like if you get a subscription to a newspaper, if you pay it all now, it's $100. If you pay it monthly, it's whatever, or weekly.
So that's something we have to discuss.
But there's not a deficit, right, because you don't have it in your possession yet. Or
right.
That
except unless they spend on materials or something along those lines.
You have the right to
have it. So this is something we need to talk about. This is an overview shoot, so I don't want to go into any one of the cases too much. We already went in more than I expected to particular cases. This is just meant to give us some framework for understanding what's involved with Ribbis. Language normally does not change a loan into something else. Meaning where it's clear that it's a loan. I'm not talking about now one type of commodity going one way, one type another way. It's a loan. But we decide we're going to call it something other than loan. So for example, I'm not calling this a loan. I'm renting the lender's money. He didn't lend me his money and then I'm paying him more back. I'm renting his money. It's chirut. And you laugh, but that's bav mitzias hamachtas on my base. Source test. The classic story of Rav Chama. Rav Chama have a moger zuze b'pshita b'yoma. Rav Chama rented out his money for a coin. A pshita is a low-level coin. A coin per day. Kalu zuze de Rav Chama. Rav Chama lost all his money. And if you look at Rashi, I added in brackets, in short, he says this was understood as a punishment, like because he lent and took ribbis. Husavar maishna mimara. He thought, why is it any different from lending somebody a shovel or renting somebody a shovel? I rent him a shovel and he pays me. I rent him money and he pays me. Veloi, but it's not so. Mara hadra be'ina, right? The mara, the shovel, you return as is via dia pachse, and you can see that any deficiency that happens as a result of its use. Zuze lo hadra be'ina, the money though isn't the same money coming back. Veloi dia pachse, and you can't tell its deficiency, and therefore what Rav Chama was doing was wrong. So you can't call it's rental, and that'll be and have that work. Yeah.
Except in this first answer, where that was part of the answer.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering about that also as I was.
Is it really necessary to just say there's a different kind of transaction, so you have to call it a call it whatever you want. We're having a transaction.
Well, we're saying it doesn't make any difference. Oh, you mean in the Chavos Das' argument?
Here.
Right, so that's what I want to go, I want to revisit Chavos Das in light of Rav Chama, because now I'm not sure how he's going to deal with that. The other possibility that people raise is what I'm actually giving you is a gift. I'm giving Yosef $100, but it's a matana al-menas that he should give me $120 in 30 days. Two separate gifts. Granted, the second one is conditional on the first. So the Rama says, no, you can't play that game either. The source Yud, the Rama says, Matana amanas lahachzir beribis, asur. You're not able to play that game. There is some discussion where the initial gift is not amanat, right? Where the return gift is actually initiated by the recipient rather than the lender. You lend me $100. I am so happy. I'm going to give you a gift of $120. So then there actually is something to discuss. Other point within this topic, where we say money, and I keep using examples of money, it isn't only about loans of cash. It will also apply it will also apply to non-cash, and it will also apply when the loan is in one currency and the repayment is in another currency. We still view that as a loan rather than a makira. So that takes us to the Gemara on. I didn't bring it here. I brought you the tour instead. Take a look at the tour in Yud Aleph. The Gemara that you would want as a basis for this is Samach Lamed Beis onto Samach Aleph Lamed Aleph. But the tour, I think, says it more concisely. Kol davar asur lovos bitosefes. You cannot lend anything and add. Bein kesef bekesef, bein ochel ba'ochel, bein ochel bekesef, bein kesef ba'ochel. All of these are going to be off limits. The only thing that I do note that it's not involved is tovas hanah. And this is the point that the Bris Yehuda makes. Tovas hanah is something very amorphous and intangible. We use the term tovas hanah like the following case in the Gemara and Makos. They talk about it. I have to give my truma to a kohen. I choose though to give it to a particular kohen as opposed to somebody else. That ability of mine to be able to choose who gets it is what we're going to call tovas hanah. There's some kind of added benefit to that. So in the Bris Yehuda, he writes in Sorez Yud Beis, he had dealt with the case previously in which the case that I gave in the beginning, the case of the tax payment, where there was no deficiency to the lender. Right, he had just given the possibility of using his stuff. He backstopped it, but that's it. And we said that there must be a loss to the lender in order for this to qualify as a loan. So he says, Tovas hana, avo pisha shava kesef eitzel halove, im eitzel hamalve eno shava kesef, amanashi yavzilo tovas hana, yosir gedola mutter. There's no concern for that. I'm not even going to go into a practical case. It's just another version of the fact that there has to be a deficiency, there has to be a loss for the deficit for the lender. Also worth noting, as Tosfos notes in Yud Gimel, it may not apply in loans of land. Ribbis may not apply to loans of land. That's Tosfos on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, who draws a klal prad klal. No, it's a klal prad klal for davar mitalta v'gufo mamon. Is what he does. So that's part of the question: is then what do you do with the eved? It's a longer discussion that I want to go into. I'm just noting it as an issue. Okay, there may be rabbinic isurim still, even if it's not even if it's not entirely a loan. In other words, if the money came to the, quote, borrower through something other than a loan, or the money was repaid through something other than repayment of a loan, you will have derabanans. And that's what we call, well, I'm going to talk about a couple of categories, but one of them is what we call derech mecha humemcha, where we say it's a derabanan. The Mabit has a long tshuva in which the Bar Ilan intersperses the responses of the Maharibal in a way that makes it very hard to read. But if I understood the Mabit properly, the Mabit explains that when you lend the money, derech mecha humemkar, then it's actually not called ribis d'oraisa for two reasons. And I brought it for you, cut and paste style on the sheet, in Yudalit, trying to give a way to explain this. But actually, I think in the interest of time, just to see how much time we're eating up, I'm going to say it outside of the Mabit there, but you can see it. Mabit says, when you go to sales, and we saw this when we discussed Onah, people often pay more for something for personal reasons, right? They need it right now. So therefore, they'll pay more in order to get it right now. Therefore, it's not always clear that somebody is paying extra. He says the same thing is true when you're dealing with... He says that's true when you're dealing with sales. He believes it's not true when you're dealing with loans. That's an objection to him from the Maharibal. But he says, that's why it's not called ribis, if it's derech mekahu memkar. In other words, the case that I gave in the beginning, where Yosef is buying merchandise from me, right? And he's going to pay me $120 for this merchandise because I'm letting him pay in 30 days. The argument of that's only ribis derabanan, it's only a vak ribis, is because maybe he's paying the $120 because he wants to add a premium to get chairs now. It's not because of the 30-day credit that I'm extending him. You follow? I don't know what you write in your documents. But that's the way he looks at it. He said, I mean, if you take a look at what I bolded in the Mabit, Kevan shalif amim ksha adam tsarich lechefetz alaf, devezechad, no sein alav yosem yishavyo, veino choshish ala ona, im kain, ein einenu roos shalvau bavur ataribis. And maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't do this loan for the sake of the, for the sake of the ribs.
Even though he's paying later?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Barabite, or not? But if you're Barabite, then you don't have a...
Exactly. That's one argument of the Mabit. The other argument of the Mabit is that the Gemara itself defines ribis d'oraisa as being derech halva'a. Right? The Gemara on Samach Amud Beis quotes you a pasuk from Mishlei, Marbeh hono b'neshech v'tarbit. So Rashi there says a loan is derech halva'a. So the Mabit pulls that, although he misquotes the pasuk. He says he quotes the pasuk as malveh hono b'neshech v'tarbit, which frankly would make the drasha a lot more clear. But the pasuk doesn't say malveh; the pasuk says marveh. But he says it's only if it is derech halva'a. That's his second argument for why ribis d'oraisa doesn't apply to derech mekach umemkar. That's his statement, and he says this will only apply. This will apply to the obvious case, the case where the entire transaction is a purchase and he's paying more so that he can pay later. That's one case. But he says it will also apply where the money gets to the borrower as a loan and the repayment is by purchasing something from the lender for a higher price. Was that at all clear? Okay, the simple case of Derech Mekach Umemkar is the case that I just gave before, right? I'm selling Yosef merchandise, he's going to pay me after 30 days, and therefore he's going to pay me more. The loan begins via a sale. But the Mabit says it's not only that case. It's also the case in which I lend Yosef $100, and Yosef is going to pay me back $100. However, he's also, when it comes to repaying me, he's going to buy goods from me later on for more than they are worth. That's called also derech mekach umemkar. You follow?
But what?
He's going to pay me a premium on some purchase later on.
But to the question I asked before about when you said if you do it for derech halva, and if you actually did two steps and you said, oh, I don't have the money, no problem, I'll loan you the money, you pay me back, and then
Yes, that's their mechanical memory.
No, we said if we break it apart, there's actually money changing hands and there's all that, then it wouldn't. Then it would be the rice. All right, but it, because the money doesn't actually change hands, all right, it's still considered mechanical memory. Here, the halva precedes the mechanical memory.
Correct.
So then why, there's a halva. You tack on the mechach at the end, but the mice, there's a full halva before the mechach even commences.
Right, so here we're going to get into a separate question called ribis meucheres. What if your transaction is over and the loan is repaid, and only afterwards do you give something nice to the malveh? That's called ribis meucheres, which we have to get to. But the answer here is that this is actually something that takes place simultaneously. It's not done later on. Because there's a separate discussion about derech mekach u'memkar, what if it's kitzutza? Right? We haven't yet defined ribis kitzutza, we're going to. But ribis kitzutza means ribis where you defined the terms, including that there's going to be a payment of extra at the beginning. And that's the definition of ribis de'oraisa, is that you fixed it from the start. So what if you do derech mekach u'memkar, but you fixed it that way from the beginning, like our original discussion, where we said right at the outset, you don't have to pay me for 90 days or 30 days, but at the end of that period of time, you're going to pay me extra. According to the Ramah, it's still rabbinic. If you take a look at source Tezvav, Klala deribis dehoshu agar natar asur, right, as we already said, bein shu derech mekach, bein shu derech halva, ela shebederech mekach eino rak avak ribishu midrabanan, and he doesn't make any distinction as to whether it's kitzutza or not, and we assume, since he began the line by talking about that which is asr midoraisa, we assume that that means even if it is kitzutza, and ditto in the mabit, and it makes sense within the mabit. However, the Meiri disagrees. If you take a look at Tezayin, the Meiri seems to disagree, and the Bris Yehuda brings you in Perek Beis, Harachav Beis, a whole bunch of others who he thinks disagree. And he says, Yechalku Inyan HaPerek L'Shnei Masar Chalakim. He goes through his 12 parts of the Perek that I already did in my outline in the beginning. Harishon Leva'er Mashu Ribis Gemura Umin HaTorah. So he says the first section in the Perek is to explain that which is full Ribis, biblical Ribis. Kigon Ribis Kitsutsa Habah Derech Halva'a Umashu Ribis Derabanan Kigon Ribis Habah Derech Schora. He seems to draw a distinction between Ribis Kitsutsa on the one side and Ribis Derabanan on the other side. It's not clear because he does throw in the word derech halva there, but the way the Bris Yehuda reads him is to say, if it's kitzutza and it's chora, it's going to be de'oraisa. That kitzutza by definition is always going to be de'oraisa. Reading the Meiri inside, I'm not so sure, but that's the way he takes it.
Is the Rama any different or adding anything to what the Rambam said?
What do you mean?
Isn't he saying the same case as the Rambam or not?
You mean in terms of the Derech Mekach being a Bak Ribis?
Yeah.
The Rambam that we saw from Ches Aleph, in Ches Aleph didn't give us the distinction of Derech Mekach u'Memkar. He always had also Arba Salamechar, but he didn't give us that distinction. So Derech Mekach u'Memkar is a Derabanan, and rental is also Derabanan. Rental is derabanan as well. Here there's an interesting quirk, which I assume we're going to come back to in a shir, so I'm just going to note it for you. If you take a look at the tour in Yud Aleph, I'm sorry, not Yud Aleph, the tour in Yud Zayin, he quotes you of Nachman, kol adiribisa, kol agar natali, right, asur, perish b'shvil, amtanas ma'osav, nosim lo sachar, beidim derech hava, o derech memkar, o schirus. Right? He says whether it's a loan or a matter of sale or schirus, ela shemu derech mekach humi derabanan. So what does that say for schirus? Daraita. Right? Ostensibly from the Torah, schirus is indeed daraisa. If you go back to the Ramah in Tesvav, he didn't mention schirus. He said mekach and he said halva. Right? There was no mention at all of schirus. So is schirus biblical or is it rabbinic? So that's the machlokas for which you can go read the Mabit and four different places that I found in the Bris Yehuda where he discusses this. We're going to have to come back to this as a topic within the broader discussion.
Don't we say that schirus is a temporary purchase?
So that's part of our question. Okay. The last point within this if the money was never in the possession of the borrower, right? We said one of the defining characteristics, go back to my three steps to a loan, right? So one of the steps to the loan is that the lender provides an asset to a borrower, right? The borrower has to actually have it and the borrower has to own it. So what about where the borrower never owns the item? Never owns the cash. The rules of ribis likely don't apply. And the logic for it is simple. It's not agar naterle. Because the lender never let me have the item. You follow? Agar naterle means that I am paying you for the right to hold your money. But on the other hand, if I didn't, because I don't actually have the right to hold it, then it's not so. So applications of that. A pikadon, which the guardian decides to invest. The Beis Yosef gives you this case in Soros Yuches, quoting the Mordechai. Hifkid maos eitzel chavero. You gave somebody money to watch. Vanifkad hilvala goyim. But then the person who's watching it for you lent it out to people who were not Jewish, and he charged interest for it, and now he has the money, right? So the question is, how do I view this? Hanifkad havi shoel. The person who was guarding it is a borrower, because now he borrowed the money. Right? And Chai Bozen, he has liability. Upshita shamafkid ein lo berevach klal. But the person who gave it to him to watch has no claim to any of the profits. Because it wasn't given to him as an investment like that.
But he can't be a shoyel either, because he's not giving back the
The Iman Nifkad wrote to Allah, says, never may atzmo, levachkid ein bo mishum ribis. He says, and if the Nifkad says, I would like to give you something from what I made on it, that's not ribis. Because it wasn't the loan. He wasn't supposed to use it at all. What he did was inappropriate. But fundamentally, there will be no ribis. Similarly, wages that are owed to a worker, right? You didn't pay him on time. You held his salary, and you invested the salary, and along the way, you made a chunk of change out of it. So so in Soros Yates, you have a piece from the Beis Yosef where he discusses that as well. And the answer, once again, is that wages that are owed to the worker, if you end up paying the worker extra because you held his wages later, that's not subject to ribis.
This wasn't
yeah. What about stolen funds? Take a look at the Maram Shik in Source Chaf. Gabe Mekach Tos. A guy bought something from you. You cheated him so that the transaction is going to have to be reversed. Hamos Gezel Biyado. It's stolen funds. Vimkein Ein Kan Ribis. You have the Issa Ribis. Now, there's a whole other discussion in this as to whether the illegal borrower is obligated to turn over the profits to the lender. Right? It sounded like not in the case that we gave. But that's actually its own deal. Okay. So we've established what is involved in a loan. Right? We have a basic conception of how loans work. You have a lender, you have a borrower. The lender lost something. The borrower gained an asset that he was allowed to spend, and he was expected to repay at some point in the future. As opposed to the case of She'ela Pikadon, as opposed to the case of sale, we made these apparently very difficult distinctions between what is a sale and what is a loan. And we said that if it's Derech Mekach U'Memkar, it's only going to be Derabbanan, whether it originates via Mekach U'Memkar, or whether it is simply repaid via Mekach U'Memkar. We said that language normally doesn't change a loan into something else, like in Rav Chama's case, although we have to ask the question of, so how does this intersect with what the Chavos Da'as said to explain the Taz. Fine. We now move into the different levels of Ribis. We have 5 minutes to go, but I'd like to at least discuss Ribis Kitsutsa. That's the simple case. Ribis Kitsutsa, again, means where you fix from the beginning how that there will be ribis paid you fix from the beginning that there will be ribis paid. If you look at the language in the Mishnah, our first Mishnah in the Parak in Source Chaf Aleph, it says, Hamal v'sela b'chamisha dinarin. Right? You said, here's a sela, I want you to pay me back 5 dinar, the sela is 4 dinar, therefore that's ribis. I'm lending you 2 measures of wheat and I want you to pay me back 3. Now, that's the simple d'oraisa case. It doesn't matter whether the stipulation is to pay it right now, or to pay it on repayment of the debt, or even to repay it later than when you repay the debt. It doesn't make a difference. Since it is fixed right now, that's called ribis kitsutsa. That's not ribis milcheres, that's ribis kitsutsa. The Machane Ephraim on this in Yurches, and I brought it for you on the sheet in Chavez, but you'll have to read it on your own time because we don't have time now. But he says Kitsitsa means as a legal obligation. If you did it as a verbal pledge, it's not kitsutsa. In other words, I lend money to Yaron. And I say, here's a $100 loan. Yaron says, I would like to give you $120 at the end. He's not allowed to do that. But it's not ribis kitsutsa, it's not de'oraisa. There has to be a legal obligation such that I could come back and claim it from him in order for it to qualify as kitsutsa.
If they write it in the contract.
Then you wrote it in the contract. That's a different story. Then it's something that can be, then it's a legal obligation. Right. It isn't about who was the one who came up with the idea. That's not the point. The point is that if it's not a legal obligation such that I could go to court, and if this weren't the Ribis case, I could actually get it from you.
Virginia Ackle would be collected as opposed to
government. Correct. Say it nicely. Correct. The Machmei Ephraim has different language, but yes. The what if you stipulate that there will be Ribis, but you don't say how much? So if you look at the language of the Meiri in Chav Gimel, Haneshech v'u ribis shal Torah hushehu malveh umatneh. I added in the vowels to make that clear. Umatneh b'sha'as ha'alva l'chach zirlo ribis kitzutza kach v'kach bein b'kesef bein ba'ochel. You told him I'm going to give you such and such an amount. Va'afil lo kitzeis. But even if you didn't say the amount, ela sha'amar almanas shetitein li ribis. According to the Meiri, that is also called ribis kitzutza, even though you did not specify the amount. The Bris Yehuda on this, it's in Perek Gimel Ha'aradalid, notes that the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba. It's supposed to be a tshuva, but I couldn't find the original tshuva that Beis Yosef claimed was in the Rashba. But the case involved a value of a yard's rental, and he called it kitzutza there. And apparently the value was specified in that matter, that you had to actually say how much interest is being paid. The Bris Yehuda himself says that may not disagree with the Meiri. It could be the specification there in the case of renting the yard was because he wanted to show you're paying me extra, to make clear that it wasn't part of the core value of it. So it could just be a detail of the case and not necessarily a condition of ribis by definition. It could be that ribis by definition is, as the Meiri says, even if you don't say how much ribis, as long as you say pay me extra, that already qualifies as ribis kitzutza, such that it's a de'oraisa. So all I'll have to do next time is do avak ribis, this major category of rabbinically defined ribis, as well as ha'aramas ribis, which is not ribis at all, but we're going to include it anyway, as you'll see. And then talk about transactions that involve ribis. What if you call the ribis a gift? Some of the special cases. And that will probably take, I would guess, half an hour to 35 minutes of next week's shiur. And then we can move into the conceptual overview from there. That's, I think, how we'll do it. Shkoyach.